Okay, guys, welcome back to the show. Kevin here. We spent the last episode talking about high-level exercise philosophy and then high-level strength training principles. This time, we're going to dedicate one episode in zone 2 training, which is cardio, if you don't know, and then VO2 max. So we touched a little bit on VO2 max last episode. Don't want to spend too much time on it. It should be pretty straightforward, right? Is you need to kind of increase your VO2 max in the sense that your body can take in and use more oxygen as you get into more of a intense physical exercise, and then that's gonna bring value to aging and enhancing your health span. I think that part is pretty self-explanatory. I do want to cover is the dosage, right? Like if you want to do exercise, how much should you do it? And then kind of share one of my exercising routine on VO2 max, right? So I started to train on VO2 max, I think about a few months ago after reading this book and then listening to the Huberman podcast. And then the way that I do it is I do it once a week. I have an exercise bike, and then I do it. There's different ways of doing it. I think for a few months I was doing 30 seconds all out sprint, in like zone 4, zone 5. By the way, if you don't know what the zones are, the higher the zones, the higher the heart rate that they correspond to. I think for me, zone 4, I think it was between 140 and 150 beats per minute. That's heartbeat. So, and then you rest for 2 minutes, and then you do it again, and you rest for 2 minutes. And then I was doing a 15-minute segment once a week. So since we're talking about Outlive, the book, right, Peter recommend that you go 4 minutes very hard, 4 minutes off, 4 to 6 times. So that is a 30-minute exercise, right? And then the way we should think about cardiovascular exercises is you should lay the foundation with zone 2. We're going to dive into very, very deeply what is zone 2, like what does it mean? And then essentially, we want to have 70% of your exercise, your cardio exercise routine be zone 2, and then 30% be VO2 max, right? So let's switch gears. Let's talk about zone 2 real quick. Why should we do it, right? Or like, why should we improve cardio exercise routine in general is... we kind of need to sprint and we need to sustain a long duration of walking or biking, things in that nature, right? So we need a bit of both. And the zone 2 cardio work, why that is the most important thing to lay down a foundation is most work is being done in zone 2 by what they call the type 1 muscle, which is a slow twitch muscle fibers. It's very dense with mitochondria, which burns fat and burns glucose. So when you're in zone 2, it's a really beneficial way of burning fat and glucose from your diet, right? And the higher the ability or the higher the endurance of your slow twitch muscle, it can result in going a long time without fatiguing. Right, or going a long time without producing a lot of lactate, which is that muscle soreness compound that got released after you, I think it was taking oxygen through oxidation, and then lactate become the outcome of that chemical reaction. Right, so the maximum amount of output that we can do, by definition, without accumulating lactate, that's the definition of zone 2 exercise. Right. It's in a sense that we want to have the burn rate equal the produce rate in terms of lactate, right? Like that's kind of the sweet spot that we're trying to get at. And let's touch a little bit on the mitochondria side of things. For people that don't understand what they are essentially the, on a very high level, biological level, is the car engine for your body, right? Or the engine for your body, or you can call it it's the cellular engine for your body. So the way that mitochondria matters in improving health span and improving lifespan is a stationary person, meaning a person that doesn't exercise, their mitochondria will be less efficient. What I mean is, if you want your body to say quickly switch from burning fat to glucose, or oxidizing oxygen will be less efficient as well. So what that means is your body will be more likely to produce lactate than burning it off, right? So lactate can quickly accumulate and then the exercise become more sustainable. Like that's what when people say, hey, I'm out of shape, that's typically what they mean, right? Is they probably are not even moving as close to like in distance or in cardio exercise time compared to a better fitter person, but they accumulate more lactate after the process, right? So when people are generally not as healthy, they typically exclusively burn glucose. What that means is they're not getting into their fat, right? So in a sense, unhealthy people are typically overweight, right? And then people have fat to burn, but they're unable to burn it. That is the difference between a healthier person and a very unhealthy person. And then a regular person compared to a healthier athlete, the healthier athlete will have healthier mitochondria, which will give you greater metabolic flexibility, right? So you're going to have a little bit more of a variance, not contracting or not even contracting, not developing metabolic symptoms. You have a little bit more of a flexibility there, right? So your whole body gets more efficient. And when we age, the mitochondria quality and quantity will decrease. So that is a bad sign, right? So as we age, by definition, from a mitochondria perspective, our mitochondria is less efficient, which means we're less efficient burning fat, burning glucose, we just cover that, right? But the good news is it's mitochondria production is actually a plastic process. What that means is there is a real thing called a mitochondrial biogenesis. How do we create more mitochondria and how do we rotate out, how do we eliminate the inefficient ones is through zone 2 exercise. Okay, so a person who exercises in zone 2, they're improving the quality and the quantity of mitochondria with every run, every bike ride, and every swim session. And in this case, in particular, it's really, you don't lose them, you don't use them, you lose them, right? So, and a very specific example is with type 2 diabetes, right? If you do more zone 2 exercise, your body is literally, Peter uses analogy and I love it, that's why I wrote it down, your body is literally vacuuming glucose out of the system, right? Where you have exercising and then you are on the track, you're pre-diabetic, or you already have type 2 diabetes, right? So that's the magic of zone 2. So to kind of wrap this up, a typical good dosage for zone 2 is about 3 hours per week. So you can break it down to, say, 3-hour-long sessions or 3 45-minute sections. It's up to you. And building up that zone 2 foundation is very, very critical for your health. And that's essentially like building a foundation for your house, right? If you want a nicer house, right? If you want a easier way to live longer, or I guess a better way to live longer, you need to build a good foundation, right? And zone 2 is that foundation for you. So That's it. That's the whole spiel on zone two. I personally do in the winter time when there's, you know, a lot less activity to do. I do 45 minutes three times a week, followed by sauna. In the summertime, like I go on hikes with my dog, trying to keep up the pace, keep in that zone two pace. Oh yeah, and by the way, zone two in terms of heart rate is different for most people, right? My zone two is probably different than your zone two, but in reality, if you have a heart rate monitor or like a smart watch, you can monitor that. But in general, is when you can carry on a conversation, not huffing and puffing too much, right? That's like a clear rule of thumb. So whenever I try to hike, I'm trying to kind of maintain that speed or that pace so that I can be in zone two for longer, right? So to build out that cardio foundation, if you will. That's it. Zone two on like cardio exercise. And then thank you for listening. And then we're going to come back with another topic. All right, have a good day.